Could you stand for the reading of God's word? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say also unto thee," here's our message, or at least the source of our message today. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, "I will build my church. I will build my church." I want to preach this morning, Union Pentecostal Church is His church. His church. God bless you. You can be seated. Union Pentecostal Church. I'm glad that the name of our church still has church in it. I don't know what happened to the road. It should be Union Road Pentecostal Church. But I'm glad church is still there. Many, if not most, names of churches used to have church in them. But in recent years, it's become faddish to rename their church and exclude church from the name. I'm not being critical. I'm just giving you an example. But here's some very popular names of churches today, and none of them have church in it. Oasis, Refuge, Life Point, Cross Point, Journey, Bridge, Foundry, Mosaic, Generation, all have dropped the name church from it. Maybe they feel like church just sounds too old-fashioned. Union, as in the street, not the town. Pentecostal, as in the persuasion of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But church, what does that mean? You see, I read where Jesus dialogued with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi. That's northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And he declared, he said at Peter's confession, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Can you envision him saying that? I can't hardly envision him saying that without seeing him pointing his finger. "Thou art Peter." But when he said upon this rock, he wasn't pointing to the rock that he was standing on, the bedrock, nor was he pointing to a rocky crag higher up on the mountain. He was pointing another direction when he said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." He wasn't speaking of a physical, literal edifice or building. You see, the rock was a person. It was Christ. And the church was the people, disciples, followers of him, millions of them, just like us here today. You see, church was Jesus' word for the gathering of the born again. It's his word for the gathering of the believer. And as near as I can tell, Jesus was the first to use that word to describe when believers in him come together. He didn't call us the hangers outers. He called us the church, the ecclesia, ecclesia in Spanish, ecclesia or ecclesia, which literally means the called out ones to make an assembly. Amen. Whether by trumpet or by bell, when the trumpet trumpet sound of the bell rang. In later times, the people came from their homes and their businesses. They had been called out to gather together. And could I tell you, though, there's much more involved. Even that's how we have come to be together. We've been called out of sin, called out of darkness, called out of different places of society, called out from different corners of this area. Why? We've been called out because we are His people and we have gathered in His name. And that's what makes us the church. It's Jesus' word. Church is not the building. People think of the building as the church. They call it the church. I've tried to put a conglomerate together to explain all those different ways we use churches. But we are the church that comes to church, to have church, to leave and be the church. Amen. But the church is not the building. Amen. The church is the people that are gathered here. The blood washed, the redeemed, the transformed ones. You see, the church is a word to describe universally the body of Christ of all ages and all times, the redeemed of all ethnicities, those that are already in heaven and those on earth, the living in the past on who knew Christ. That is all the universal, invisible church. But the church is also used as the local expression of His body to the church at Corinth, to the church at Colossae, to the church at Philippi. It's both the universal and the local. To give you an illustration of that, take Cracker Barrel. Isn't it sad what's happening to Cracker Barrel? That's another message. Cracker Barrel can be used to talk about the corporation. Brother Bill, if I say Cracker Barrel, Cracker Barrel is losing thousands of dollars a day. I'm talking about the corporation. But if I say we're going to eat at Cracker Barrel today, I'm talking about the individual restaurant. Amen. You can't talk about the one without talking about the other. If the corporation's losing money and in trouble, so are the restaurants. Could I tell you, the church is that universal bride and body and building of Christ. But the church is the local expression. Here in this place this morning is the church at Union Road. This is an expression of that universal, invisible church. The church has been marginalized in our communities. The church has been expunged from our lives. And increasingly, there are those who call themselves Christians who minimize and attack and criticize the church. The church has been maligned and castigated and criticized. It's been attacked and bombarded and sabotaged. Yet the church is still the best thing going on planet Earth. It's the best for humanity. It's the best for families. It's the best for people. Could I tell you, the church is still the most powerful force for good on this planet. The church is the place of hope for the hopeless, help for the helpless, healing for the hurt. The church is the only light in our darkness. It's the only bastion against the march of evil. It's the only voice of reason and truth. It's the only place where souls are healed and rescued. It's the only place of restoration. So call us a church. Church is what you are. And UPC, not that other movement, but Union Pentecostal Church is His church. I'm not saying that only Union Pentecostal Church is His church. I'm saying we of Union Pentecostal Church, we who are gathered here, we are Christ's church. Look at what Jesus said so much in that short statement. Union Pentecostal Church is His church. He founded it. He paid for it. I will build my church. The church is His because He established it. I've told you many times when I came here, I couldn't quite get used to the way folks, and of course, we used to have a fellowship of churches, and to identify which one the fellowship meeting was going to be at, or the revival. You'd hear things like Setzer's church and Collins church and Hearst church. And I understood what people were doing. They were just identifying and describing the place where one pastored. That was just an identifier. But I want to make clear, even at this point, Union Pentecostal Church is not my church. I know what people say. They'll talk about my church. In a sense, I like that. Take ownership. Invest. They'll talk about my church. I get it. But what you simply mean is the building where you go, where your gathering is, because this is not your church. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is Christ's church. It is His church. And it's only by the grace of God that we get to be a part of His church. If you're in His church, it's mercy and God. You didn't just pick a church. He put you in the church. Amen. Amen. There is only one true church. I know there's a lot of denominations, a lot of gatherings, but there's only one true church, and that is His church. The church is His because He paid for it with His own blood. To go to another part of Scripture, Acts 20, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. What a price has been paid for the church. He purchased it with His own blood. That's as true of Union Pentecostal Church as it was the church of Ephesus, to whom it was first spoken. He has purchased this church. I said He has redeemed this church. And how did He do it? He did it by purchasing each one in the church. I said He purchased the church with His blood by purchasing each individual that comes into His church. It's His building, His body, His bride. Could I tell you, either inside or outside the church, you don't mess with the church like you don't mess with another man's wife. This is His church. This is His bride. Don't run down His church. When you run down His church, you're running down both what He gave His life for and that which you are a part. It makes no sense. We're living a time when people, even from the inside, have no problem criticizing the church. And I got to be careful here. I don't mean the church is above critique and examination. I don't mean that the church, the local expression, has no problems and nothing that could be criticized. I mean folks who run down the local church, run down the family of God, they're constantly finding fault simply because it doesn't meet their expectations. Listen to me this morning. When you run down your church, have you forgotten that you are a part of His church and you are in the untenable position of haranguing His church? I remember when I was principal, you know, when you got kids, you always have this thing where they'll call each one another names. And I had this young man that was always running down his classmates. And so he was in my office and I was talking to him. And I said, "Do you believe that we're all created in the image of God?" And he said, "Yes." And I called the young man name that he had recently offended. And I said, "Do you believe he is in the image of God?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Brother Bill, do you realize I said "Do you realize every time you run down and make fun of that young man, the other young man, you are running down and making fun of God, because He's created in the image of God. Could I tell you, every time you criticize the church, even you got to realize something. You just criticize His church that He purchased with His own blood. You say you're not criticizing Christ's church, only the people in it. But who do you think the church is except the people in it? You say, well, I'm only criticizing the local church and not the universal church. Who are you to make a difference between the two when the scripture clearly says to the church at Colossae? It's his church at Colossae. It's his church at Corinth. It's his church at Union Road. It's still his church. People separate themselves from the church in order to criticize the church. They should just be thankful. Oh, I said they should just be thankful that God, by his grace, has allowed them to be a part of the church of Christ. Do you not realize if you are really saved, you are a part of the church you run down? Amen. Wake up. I'm talking to you this morning. I said, when you criticize the church, you're criticizing that which you are a part of. Amen. People separate themselves from the church when they should realize they're a part of it. Amen. Listen, if you say, well, no, I'm not a part of that church, then you must not be saved. Because if you're saved, you're supposed to be a part of it. And when you start saying, well, I'm not a part of it, I don't fit in, I'm not saved. Because if you're born again, if you're blood washed, you're as much a part of the church as the one down the pew. Amen. He puts us all together and he makes us the church. Almost always, it's people moving away from the church that criticize the church, not those who want to be a more integral, involved, and fitting part. It's those pulling back. Amen. I've seen this often and often, whether it's a house or a car. Somebody says, he just don't take care of it. Or she just doesn't take care. It's theirs, but they don't take care. They don't take care of, he doesn't take care of his car. He doesn't take care of his house. He doesn't take care of his family. But could I tell you this morning, this is his church, and he takes care of his church. And Union Pentecostal Church is his church. He has founded it. He's established it. He's paid for by his blood, and it is his. And he's going to take care of it. He's taken care of it for 98 years. He's going to take care of it the rest of the year. He's going to take care of it the next 10 years. He's going to take care of it till he comes back for it. It's his church. Union Pentecostal is his church. He designed it. I want to focus simply on the word my. That only means that it's his. It means it's his idea. Nobody else thought up the church. God thought up the church. God designed it. And like everything God designed, you cannot improve on his design. Even it's the building that he conceived. Oh, you could preach a series on that, and I'm not going to threaten you with that because you would believe me. So I want to say in three lines, his design is you only get into the church through the cross. There's no other way. Not the baptism waters, not the roll book. You only get into the church through the cross, through salvation. Number two, the church is for whosoever will. It's not for a select few. It's not from those of the specific economic or social strata. The church is open to whosoever will. None are excluded. Amen. He has called those from all walks of life, all ethnicities, all educational backgrounds, all types of. Oh, aren't you glad the way into the church through the is open to whosoever will? Amen. The church isn't just made up of a preacher or just the musicians or just the people. There's elders and bishops and pastors and teachers ordained of God. And he gives us the gifts of the Spirit for worship. Amen. The church is the place that we are encouraged to assemble frequently, and so much the more as the day of his coming approaches. But the church is also the place we do the one anothering. I won't get another time to mention, so I'm going to mention it now. Amen. Particularly after COVID. And I know if you're sick, we don't want you to come. And some people are too infirm to come. Amen. We're not dumb. We know that. But since COVID, particularly, folks have said, I don't need to go to church to be saved. I don't need church. Listen, read your New Testament. Constantly, the New Testament Christians are admonished to one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Sing to one another. Confess your faults one to another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen. All these one another's. Scripture said that. Amen. Amen. What is it all about? There's something when we get together. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord from the vertical moves in our hearts to the horizontal. That's the church of the living God. Oh, glory to God. He designed it with a purpose in mind. The church is the gathering of the redeemed who glorify God, help one another along in transformation, and become his hand to reaching out to the lost. Again, we could go on all day. We're not going to. But the church is an army on the move. At the same time, the church is a hospital for the injured and diseased and hurting. At the same time, the church, amen, we're more than a social thing. But at the same time, the church is fellowship like you'll never find anywhere else. He designed it, and no one at any time can improve upon it. I'm going to catch my breath and tell a story. And nobody will know where this place is, I don't think, except Brother Zerbel. But I used to preach in the beginning of my preaching in a little bitty town called Macomb. It was one of those dead Oklahoma towns that grew up with the oil boom and then it died out. And I remember getting there early one time, and they didn't have much of a downtown left, but I was walking downtown, and there was a taxidermy shop there. And in that taxidermy shop, I could look in and see the different stuffed animals. And it reminded me of a story once. Two men were walking down the street, same scenario, taxidermy shop, and there was an owl there, taxidermy. They assumed stuffed. And so they began to look at it, and both of them began to criticize the job the taxidermist had done. Eyes are too close together. The feathers aren't done right. Look at the feet. They're all wrong. About that time, that owl turned its head and winked at it. It wasn't stuffed. It was alive. You can get to criticizing the church. This is wrong with it. And that's, I'll tell you, if it's the true church of Christ, one of these days it's going to turn its head, because it ain't dead and it ain't stuff. It's a living thing. He designed it, and you're not going to improve upon his design of the church. He is the one that put it all together. He didn't build a theater for shows. He didn't build a music hall for concerts. He didn't build a classroom for teaching self-esteem. He built a church. Church, a living, Holy Spirit breathing, a moving, marching organism that grows and reproduces, and you can't improve on life. Hallelujah. But he didn't just have the design and the plan for a church. He built what he designed. Could I tell you, if he had a plan for the church at large, he has a plan for this church right here. And he has a plan for everyone in this church. And his design is good and it's great. But he doesn't just have a design, Brother Rose. He builds what he has designed. So the Union Pentecostal Church is his church. He builds it. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build. Now, oftentimes today, somebody will say, I'm building a new house for us, for my family. They're actually not the ones that's hammering. When they say, I am building, they have hired somebody to do the work, right? How many's heard that? I'm building a new home for it. No, they may never cut a board. They're still, I want to tell you, it's all different with Jesus. When he says, I am building, it means he is building. I know he uses men, but look, we're not the carpenter. We're just tools in the hands of the carpenter. Right? He's doing the building. Oh, glory to God. Every time he uses a singer to bless somebody, that's him at work. Oh, hallelujah. Every time you pray for somebody and help them get through, that's him at work. You may be a tool, but he is the carpenter. Amen. What is building? The materials to build. Amen. The materials have to be acquired. They have to be purchased. They have to be brought to the site. They have to be cut and joined and painted. That's what he does. He pays for the materials. That's you and me. He brings them to a site, a local church, and then he goes to work. He cuts them to the right length. He joins off the rough places. He paints and covers up. Amen. To make beautiful. Amen. I'm going to tell you, he is the builder. Jesus constructs and he builds. But again, not a dead Ephesus, not a structure of dead stones. He builds a living body. Amen. Jesus wasn't talking about a cathedral or a sanctuary or a chapel. He was talking about that motley crew of disciples, beginning with them, a living group of people. And he builds himself a living body, not a corpse, but a living, functioning body. Oh, I want to tell you, too many places, the church has become a corpse. They've done it man's way. They've catered to the world. They've accommodated to the times, and it's nothing but a corpse. But if you let Jesus do the building, it's a living body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Appreciate you staying with me. I got a whole lot to, don't have much more time to chat with you. Got a whole lot to work in here. No way to divide this into a series, so I'm just going to continue. Amen. Jesus not only builds a living body, he builds that with people. Oh, I can't digress. But the most wonderful thing in the sense of science and biology, Brother Bill, I'm preaching a lot to you this morning, but you already know what it is. It's the cell. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about that. But within that cell is the DNA. And you know what that DNA does? It's already programmed to do it. It tells the cell to build these proteins, and it uses proteins to build the proteins. And all of that begins to produce life. That cell is a living thing. The instructions are built in. The blueprint is there. And there's a constant building, building, building. Therefore, the cells of our body are called the building blocks of life. Could I tell you, his body is a living body, but you are the building blocks of the life of the body. In a very real sense, the body of Jesus has no more life than you have as an individual cell in that body. Just like in our biological bodies, the life of the whole comes down to the life of the individual. He took that group of disciples, a tax collector, a zealot, fishermen, all of those. They were anything but perfect, and they knew they were anything but perfect. But Jesus used those disciples to build a church as the building. And that church today spans the globe. And billions of people have come to know the Lord. Amen. What a thing he does. Jesus brings them to a site. He forms them. He places them in their place. And what is true of the church is true of each individual member of the church. He is building you just like he's building the church. I can say the church is here, his. But could I tell you, each brick in the church is his. Oh, I know this is going to be deep. You may want to write it down. But my house, the exterior, is made out of bricks. And not one of those bricks belong to my neighbor. Every one of those bricks of my house are my bricks. And when I point at my house and say, that's my house, I'm at the same time saying, that's my brick, and that's my brick, and that's my brick, and that's my brick. I want to tell you, yes, it's his church, but every block, every brick, every stone that he's put in that church is his too. What do you think I'm going to do if a neighbor comes over and tries to chisel out one of my bricks and say, well, that's my brick? Oh, well, I got to go on. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. Some people find it easy to leave their local church. You need to consider something. He put you in this church. Don't you take yourself out of it. Amen. Amen. Particularly when one has been born again in that church and find it so easy to leave. Oh, listen, Jesus doesn't neglect his church. Jesus doesn't abandon his church. He doesn't at all. He doesn't attack his own church. He doesn't tear down his church. He builds his church. Anyone involved in tearing down the church has none of Christ in them. Everything about Christ is build. And if you're a tearer down, you have no Christ in you. Oh, you can be a part of what Christ is building or not. He will include you if you do not exclude yourself. Jesus is building his church. I don't want to wear you out with it, but with Christ as the builder, the church has a great future. Union Pentecostal Church has a great future because Jesus is its builder. Again, I know what we mean, but we'll hear, you know, Brother Smith, he built a great church in Timbuktu. Listen, I know God used him, but he didn't build the church in Timbuktu. If there's a great church there, Christ built that church. Hallelujah. And if the church is not being built, there's some folks that aren't cooperating. And so could I just say this morning, I believe the hand of the carpenter is in this place. Let him build. Let him build. Let him build. Cooperate. Don't stand in the way. Let him build. Union Pentecostal Church is his church. He is its foundation. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Again, another series, and I'll just give you a minute or two. Jesus, when he says this rock, he was pointing out the foundation upon which he would build his church. Everybody knows this. If you're going to have a good building, you've got to have a good foundation. So when he says this rock, he's pointing to the foundation. People have wrangled and twisted Peter's confession. They claim it's difficult to know what the rock is. The Roman Catholics have made it Peter and said that Jesus was referring to Peter as the rock, that he would be the first pope of the church. But notice carefully here, Jesus wasn't pointing at Peter. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he's now pointing another direction. He's pointing elsewhere. If Jesus had met Peter, it would have read this way, thou art Peter, and upon you, or upon Peter, I will build my rock. But it's a statement of contrast. Thou art Peter. You didn't even make the confession on your own. The Father gave you that through the Holy Spirit. The contrast, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Another note here is Peter would have never claimed what was later claimed for him, that he was the foundation of the church. Peter would have been the first to stand up and said, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief stone, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, in fact, was pointing to the confession of Peter. Thou art Peter. The confession wasn't of Peter, it was of the Father. And upon this confession, I will build my... What was the confession? It was when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's it. That's what I'm going to build my church on. Not Jesus the teacher, not Jesus the prophet, not Jesus the guru. I am going to build my church on Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the very God. So the stone is not just a confession, but Jesus who fulfills it. The church is built on Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll bore you with it for about 5 seconds. But there's a stark difference in the original. Jesus said, thou art Peter. And here's how the others make this mistake. He said, thou art Peter, which is literally Petros. Listen to the end. Petros. And then he says, upon this rock, he doesn't say Petras. He says, upon this rock, Petra, I will build a different word. You are Peter, but Petros means a piece of rock. It means gravel. But upon this Petra means a massive piece of rock. He could not deny it. You are Peter, a pebble, a piece of rock, but I'm going to build my church on that massive, unmovable rock of who I am. Now, here's the wonderful thing. The church isn't built on Peter, and it's not built on me, but Jesus took himself. He took that massive piece of rock, and he took wee pebbles, and he put us in the walls of it. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad to be a part of this church? Glory to God. You see, Jesus is the rock, capital R, beneath every other rock, little r. Jesus is the capital R rock. Peter and us are the little r rocks. I'm happy with that. Because Jesus is the foundation that's unmovable. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be a part of that structure. Jesus is the bedrock upon which the apostles were built, upon which they were built. Peter would have been the first to say, I am a vacillator. I am mercurial. I said I wouldn't deny the Lord, and I denied him. Amen. I said that, and I made this great confession, thou art the Son of God, and I end up cursing. Hours later, Peter would have been the first to say he was not the rock. Oh, come on, church. Christ is the rock. Oh, but here's the exciting thing. Peter was still a rock in the building when he wrote his epistle. He spoke of the Christians. He said, you are lively stones, and you're built up a spiritual house. Glory to God, we're not the foundation stone, but we get to be a lively stone. That don't even make sense. You've never seen a stone that's alive till you get to the church, and every stone, every building block is alive in Jesus. Hallelujah. Even no true church can be built without Jesus being the focus, being the basis, being the attention of everything it is and everything it does. I know you believe this. I'm just reaffirming it. But the church must be continually and constantly about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He's the founder. It's about the biblical Jesus, the real and living Jesus, the God-man Jesus. Let me tell you what happens. Churches that are closing everywhere, they've made the church about something else other than Jesus. There's nothing to build on. But could I tell you this morning, keep Jesus the foundation. Oh, this church can be built from here on out. Amen. The church must be insistent and passionate about Christ. Put Christ in every song. Put Christ in every message. Put Christ in every testimony. Put Christ in the fellowship. Put Christ in that paddle ball they're playing, that pickleball. Amen. Put Christ in it all. Amen. Because he's the only thing you can build a church on. You can't build the church on ice cream, as good as it is. That was powerful. I know you're writing it down. Those who begin to pull away from the church, not to be critical, but in every case, they first begin to pull away from Christ. I don't care their spiritual sanctimoniousness, where all of a sudden they think they can do church better. If you really look at their lives. Now, they'll always tell you that. I've seen that over and over. Well, I'm closer to the Lord than I've ever been. The same time you're haranguing everybody, tearing down those that helped you, were there for you. I'm closer. I beg to differ. If you're pulling away from the true church of the living God, it's because you have first pulled away from Jesus. He is the foundation of it all. Union Pentecostal Church, keep it about Christ. We believe in Pentecost. Yes, sir. We believe in holiness. Yes, sir. But in the end, it's Jesus. 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 It may be a statement I should have thought out before I say it, but Pentecost alone cannot save you. Holiness and holiness movement alone can't save you. But Jesus, He can save you. One of the most, we talked about this in Sunday school, one of the most sung songs in both the Welsh Revival and the Azusa Street Revival was, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And they had Pentecost and they had holiness, but it began with, "Oh, how I love Jesus." When one is more upset or over a perceived or a real wrong than the goodness of God in Christ, more obsessed with those things than the blessing of being in the gathering, more obsessed with maybe there's a click rather than the overall gathering, when you get more upset over a brother or a sister in the church than excited about Jesus in the church, you're going to lose it. It's going to be traumatic for you and your family. I didn't say there's not been hurts. I didn't say there's not been grievances. I just said don't obsess over those things. In the end, the church isn't about those things. That's why the devil wants to make it about. It's not about. The church is about Jesus. From foundation all the way up in the building, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Homie's glad for a great Savior. Last of all, Union Pentecostal Church is His church. He gives it its victory. I'm not going to straighten out everybody's theology in one message. I'm not going to get all of mine straightened out in one message. But I want to beg you to indulge me to think differently about this passage than you may have never thought about it before, even though I've preached it this way before. Look at Matthew 16, 18. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It's a great picture. I have no problem with that. But what people do when they read this, they picture the church as a mighty army on the march into Satan's territory, and they come to the gates of Satan's stronghold, and they attack. And Satan can't hold them out from getting through the gates. Satan can't keep them from getting into the city in his territory. But I want you to think differently about this. First of all, this time, I know normally the gates are made for keeping invaders out. But the gates of hell are different. And you will know this if you think of the context of Scripture. The gates of hell are different. They're not designed to keep people out. The gates of hell are designed to keep people in. Right? One more thing. And please check me out later, but just take my word for it now. We don't have time. When you're talking about hell, the burning place, this is why these charismatics make a huge mistake here. When you talk about hell, the burning place, it's Gehenna. It's not the word Gehenna here. It's the word Hades. The place of the people that have died. The grave, which is the entrance to it, the gate of it. Hear me? The grave is the gate of it. But Hades encompasses the place of the dead. And by the way, in the picture, the dead of both those who knew God and those who didn't. So now let's go back to this. The gates of hell are to keep people in. You see, if you take this statement of Christ in the larger context, I don't have time to go there. Take my word for it. Check it out later. But in the larger context, Christ was speaking of his own death. Amen. He has said Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan was doing everything to kill Jesus. And there was coming hours later, amen, days later, amen, when Satan would think he had won. He would think he has killed Jesus. Through his minions of the Jews in Rome. He has crucified Jesus. He has killed Jesus. Can you imagine the laughter of Satan when they laid Jesus on that stone slab and they rolled that stone across the entrance? We've got him. The gates of hell have slammed shut upon Jesus. He's dead. We've got him. Even the gates of Hades have closed around him. But could I tell you, 3 days later, there was a rumbling and a shaking, and the Spirit of the Lord entered that tomb, and Jesus burst through the gates of hell and defeated the grave. He defeated hell. He defeated darkness. He burst through. And Jesus is saying right here, in premonition of that, just like the gates of hell will be unable to hold me, the Messiah, the gates of hell will be unable to hold me, hold you, the church of the living God. Listen, the gates of hell will try to cling shut around you and around you personally. I've got you. I've defeated you. The church can't go anywhere. Amen. Satan will say, I can hold the church back. I can hold the church down. I can hold the church in. You can't do it, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot hold my church back, cannot hold my church in, cannot hold my church no more than it can hold me down. It can't hold my church down. No gates of hell, however sturdy or strong, if it be as thick as the stone across my tomb, it can't hold my church. And I want to say, either in life or death, the same is true for each individual believer. It's a reality we don't necessarily want to speak of. But Brother Steve, they didn't, however many years ago, 5 years ago. But for all of us, if the Lord doesn't come, the gates of Hades. I'm speaking analogously now. I was speaking in reality earlier. Now it's analogously. One day the gates of Hades will clang shut. They'll close the grave. And Satan will say, I've got them. I've defeated them. But no, sir. The gates of hell could not hold Jesus in. And he was but the first fruits of the resurrected. That means every believer after him is going to come out of the grave the same way he did. And if the gates of hell cannot hold him, the gates of hell cannot hold you. You're coming out. The gates of hell may not be death. You may be here behind the gates of bitterness, behind the gates of distress, behind the gates of anxiety, behind the gates of panic and darkness, behind the, I don't know what kind of gates you're behind, but if you're a part of the church of the living God, you need to believe him this morning. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That means they're trying to get you. They're trying to hold you in, but they will not prevail. Come, music. He's coming after a live church, even if he has to resurrect one. Jesus is going to have the same vibrant, victorious church, full of vibrant, victorious members that he built and he left. He's coming after the same kind of church. I'm done with this. I think in numbers a lot. And Union Pentecostal Church is approaching its 100th year. And I know I'm rounding the numbers. I know that. In one way, Brother Philip, 2,000 years seems a long time. But unless my math is rusty, 100 years of the existence of our church is 1/20th of the time since Christ. That's really not very long. Sister Margie, we're the same church that he left when he began to build us. Reminds me of that 94-year-old man out chopping wood still. Someone said, that's quite an axe you got there. How long you had it? And he said, well, I got it. Let's see here. I got it when I was 6 years old. He said, this axe is 88 years old. He said, now sometimes I've had to replace the handle. And sometimes I've had to replace the head. Are you hearing me? But it's the same axe. This is the same church, Brother Keith, that he left. I look around, and in the generations older than I'm not talking about the in-between generations like Brother Carr, I'm just being descriptive here, but in the generation older than I, there's only maybe one or two, I know others have come, a few others have come since, only two that are still here that when I first came, Sister Barbara O'Hare, and Brother Cleo Brock. I think of my own generation, of my home church. I know of one that's left. This church has quite the testimony. You don't run preachers off. You've only had 4 in 100 years. So I look out at the congregation, Brother Joe, and sometimes the handle's been changed. And only in terms of analogy, sometimes the head has been changed, but this is the same church of Jesus Christ. Oh, there ought to be victory in our soul today. We'll just stand across the building. Union Pentecostal Church is his church. Be a part. Be fully plugged in the days ahead. Be fully engaged. It's not a time to pull back. It's time to push forward. It's not a time to capitulate. It's time to break through the gates of hell. Would you lift your hands and thank God he's made you a part? I've got one altar call. I promise you the meeting afterwards will be very short. Wait for the benediction. I've only got one altar call. It takes great honesty, and there's no specificity to it. But if at any point in this message God spoke to you about anything, wherever you are at in your walk with God, if at any point in this message God spoke to you about anything, would you come right now? Would you be the first to come? Amen. And say, God was speaking to me. Amen. Something in this message. Oh, hallelujah. Would you do that? God was speaking to me. But if you'll be honest this morning, God will really move. Listen, I'm not trying to be harsh here. Amen. But I was trying to preach the truth of God's word, and if nothing at any point spoke to you in any way, then I would be considering whether I was a lively stone or a dead rock. Amen. Because he's speaking and he's moving, and God is trying to address this church. You just be honest. God spoke to something to me in my heart in this message. I'm opening this for everybody. Would you come this morning? Hallelujah. Let God continue his speaking. Be a mighty church. Be a gates of hell breaking out type of church. We're still the church. We will go forward. Forward.
We are still the church. We will go on. Let's forget about the things that are behind us.
Forget about the things that are behind us.
We are still
the church.
Keep pressing.
Don't let him lie to you. You're still a part of the church. You're still a part.
We will go forward. We are still the church. We will go on.
We will go on.
Let's forget about the things which are behind us.
Break out this morning. Break out this morning.
Keep pressing on.
Break out this morning.
We are still the church. We will go forward.
The gates of hell shall not prevail.
We are still the church. We will go on. Oh, let's forget about the things which are behind us. We are still the church. Keep pressing on.
Press on.
We are still the
church. We're still the church.
We will.
And you're a part of this church.
We are still the church. We will go on. Oh, let's forget about the things which are behind us.
You're a part of this church.
We are still the church. Keep pressing.
Break through those gates of hell this morning. We don't need to hold you.
Church, keep praying.